Penguin Random House presents India Since Independence, revised and updated by Bipan Chandra, Mridula Mukherjee and Aditya Mukherjee. Read by Pratik Dutt Sharma. You are listening to the second part of India Since Independence. Part 1 is also now available as an audiobook. Chapter 21. Run up to the new millennium and after. Rajiv Gandhi had succeeded in placing the idea of preparing for the 21st century, the first century of the new millennium, in the minds of thinking Indians. When he asked for a mandate for the second time in November 1989, there was just a decade to go for the ambitious targets he had set before the nation, and which he hoped to have the opportunity to pursue. But running a government and winning an election are two different propositions, and success in one is no guarantee of success in the other. Despite unprecedented economic growth, averaging around 5.5% per annum, the highest expenditure ever on anti-poverty programs, and almost flawless handling of the drought of 1987, significant foreign policy achievements, the hawa or wind blew in the opposite direction. V.P. Singh's single-minded crusade against corruption, which he had carried on unremittingly since his expulsion from the Congress in 1987, had touched a sensitive chord. Corruption at the lower levels of the bureaucracy was an issue of everyday concern for all citizens, rich or poor, and it was widely felt that high-level corruption created conditions of legitimacy for the lower-level variety. V.P. Singh courted and won the support of a wide range of forces, which included Sarvodaya workers, trade unionists such as Datta Samant, the farmers' movement led by Sharad Joshi in Maharashtra, and some sections of radical anti-Congress intellectuals. Apart from choosing an emotive issue, V.P. Singh also fashioned a consummate political strategy for isolating Rajiv and Congress. He first joined together with all those congressmen who had become estranged with Rajiv for one reason or another. Among these were Arif Muhammad Khan, a young secular Muslim leader considered close to Rajiv. Arif had achieved instant fame by resigning on the issue of the Shahbano case. This case, in which the Supreme Court granted maintenance to a Muslim woman divorced by her husband, became controversial because it was opposed by Orthodox Muslims on the grounds that it interfered with the Muslim personal law. Arif, encouraged by Rajiv, had put up a brilliant defense of the judgment in Parliament, but was dismayed and resigned his ministership when Rajiv, coming under enormous pressure from a powerful agitation and close advisers, agreed to introduce a bill to negate the judgment. Rajiv's stand on the Shahbano case had first cost him Muslim support, and once he changed his mind, Hindu support as well, since he was seen as appeasing Muslims. In many ways, Arif's resignation was the beginning of the turnaround in Rajiv's fortunes. Arif was joined in the wilderness by Arun Nehru, the estranged cousin whom Rajiv had edged out when he seemed to be becoming too powerful and inquisitive as Minister of State for Home. V.P. Singh, Arif and Arun Nehru, joined by Ram Dhan, V.C. Shukla, Satpal Malik and other Congress dissidents, formed the Jan Morcha or People's Front on 2nd October 1987. With this as the core, V.P. Singh began to build an anti-Rajiv political bloc. He placated the left parties by calling them his natural allies and issuing statements against communalism, but made sure he had the BJP on his side by speaking from their platform and maintaining close links with Vajpayee and Advani. However, more than V.P. Singh's strategy, it was the inherent anti-Congressism of the left and the BJP that brought them to support V.P. Singh. His resounding victory in the Allahabad by-election in June 1988 against Congress, in which the Bofors gun had become the unofficial campaign symbol, had convinced them that he was the answer to their anti-Congress prayers. And though the left parties were always quick to deny any truck with the BJP, especially when it became clear later that the BJP was the main beneficiary of the electoral understanding in the 1989 elections, it is a fact that they were fully aware of VP Singh's dealings with the BJP. Citing Jyoti Basu's presence at a public rally held to felicitate VP Singh for his victory in the Allahabad by-election, in which he shared the dais with Atal Bihari Vajpayee of the BJP, VP Singh's biographer, Seema Mustafa, says that VP Singh alone was not responsible for the understanding reached with the BJP and that it had the covert support of the left becomes clear from this move. Indeed, eventually the left parties told VP that they would not make an issue of any electoral agreement with the BJP, although they would not be able to support it openly. The feeling among the left and VP Singh was that as in 1977-79, the BJP would not be able to gain much, as it did not have any independent strength. The BJP, on the other hand, went along, often swallowing insults that a party with less discipline would have found impossible to get its cadre to tolerate, in the conviction that the dislodging of Congress was a necessary step on its road to power. The association with left and secular forces gave it the credibility it lacked by removing the stigma of communalism that had ensured it remained on the fringes of Indian politics, a stigma that had been attached to it by the efforts of secular nationalists since the days of the freedom struggle. The BJP increased its tally from 2 in 1984 to 86 in 1989, and this jump put it on the path to power, which it achieved in 1998. To quote, "The broad alliance, formed in 1989, was definitely one of the factors responsible for the rise of the BJP. The strategy for opposition unity was conceived as a three-stage process. The first stage was the unity of centrist, non-Congress secular national parties. The second, the formation of a national front of all non-left secular parties, regional and national. And the third, the seat adjustments with left parties and the BJP. The second stage was completed first, with the national front of seven parties being formed on 6th August 1988. On 11th October 1988, the birthday of Jayaprakash Narayan, the Janata Dal was formed with the merger of the Jan Morcha, Congress S, Janata and Lok Dal. The third stage was reached when the Janata Dal-led National Front and BJP agreed not to contest against each other in around 85% of the seats where the two would have otherwise nominated candidates, and a similar agreement for a small number of seats was reached between the National Front and the Communist parties. The National Front Government, 1989-1990. The election results were a blow to Congress, even if it was still the single largest party with 197 seats and 39.5% vote share. Rajiv made it clear that Congress was not interested in trying to form a government, with the left parties and the BJP quickly declaring that they would support a National Front government from the outside. The stage was set for the second non-Congress government in post-independence India to take office. The National Front had won 146 seats and was supported by the BJP with 86 and the left parties with 52 seats. The beginnings were not smooth, however, with Chandrasekhar totally opposed to VP Singh as Prime Minister and Devi Lal insisting he be made Deputy Prime Minister at least. With elections over, all the differences caused by clashing ambitions, oversized egos, ideological preferences came to the fore, and it was with some
sample complete. Ready to continue?